Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Devin Tilley here. In this moment in time, in this global and timeless megaphone podcast, I am so excited for this conversation ahead. Because giving credit where credit is due, I want to start off by giving credit to Ben Glunz, the owner of BIMSmith. And he and I, many moons ago, were talking about how we can really move the industry forward. And he said, Devin, I met you and we had this great conversation at Autodesk University, but you need to come to DBEI. What the heck's DBEI? Well, we're going to relive and we're going to have that journey. We're going to have some great conversations around that. And the main message that I want to convey to you, audience, is that the Digital Built Environment Institute is this amazing not-for-profit global organization dedicated to the advancement of you, tribe, the people, and us people that have to manage these processes and make the technologies and the improvements of productivity, efficiencies, and sustainability for the built environment and the rest of the AECO industry. And I'm going to spell all this stuff out because I'll just raise my hand. If it's for me and you guys all got it, cool. And what the AECO stands for is architecture, engineering, construction, and operation. And boy, that's a mouthful. And we get to go have a conversation with Wesley Bend, who is taking all this stuff on. And that's why we're such an honor what we're going to be talking about. But first, how's it going to benefit you? You know, they believe and we believe that our planet is significant, has so many significant issues that need to be addressed, right? And that, at least in terms of the built environment, this is a key part of that. And we have you, tribe, the people, the process, the skills, and the knowledge to affect these changes. And so the broad AECO industry has significant impact on the planet. And together, through our individual and collective improvements, we can make an impact and make it a positive one. And so my perspective is that the AOC is so proud for this big announcement. Drum roll, please. We are here to announce that we have formalized our partnership with DBEI for the Digital Built Week of 2022. And we are honored to be the official podcast partner for this strategic and prestigious event. Stay tuned for many podcasts with upcoming speakers that are going to be leading up to this event, as well as we get to have a whole series of podcasts being recorded live in the studio and where it's all kinds of cool stuff. It's just miraculous what I'm seeing, how this is all coming together. But we're going to be live in Anaheim at Digital Built Week here in 2022. So pay attention, look at all our social media, the show notes, and get engaged in this super important situation of what are we trying to do, right? Today, we're trying to figure out how to get this stuff going forward. And today we're going to explore the past because we've been on a wild ride when it comes to events, and I can't wait to have this conversation about the past, present, and future of the Digital Built Environment Institute with the guy that has been through it all, the executive chairman, Wesley Bend. And so the other thing that's really cool is Wesley has stepped up, and what they're doing is working with the Art of Construction, and we're going to be giving away free passes for the Digital Built Week and here in 2022 in Anaheim. And this event is June 14th through the 16th. So what you need to do is go to the podcast, www.theaoc.us. You can go to the show notes for this particular show, or we'll have the call to actions where you can fill out the form for your chance to win. So we're going to go through this past, present, future, and talk with Wesley Bend, the executive chairman at the Digital Built Environment Institute. Lock and load, tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
It has to be a close heat between hot chocolate and Coke, but I will admit there's basically a rider on our venue contracts for Coca-Cola.
There you go. What is the favorite place you've traveled?
Southern Hemisphere, the Philippines, out in the islands. Northern Hemisphere, Portugal.
Okay, we got to hear one story that comes to mind because you've traveled a lot, right, Wesley?
Indeed, I have 113 countries and counting.
Wow. Well, give us one story that comes to mind from those trips.
A topical one, perhaps. Be very careful who you book travel with. I once was flying from London to Tokyo, and I had a flight booked with Aeroflot, the Russian national carrier. And it was winter, and we were flying. We had a stop in St. Petersburg, Leningrad at the time. And the snow got so severe that we couldn't take off again. But being Russia, not having visas for Russia, we couldn't leave the airplane. So sat on the airplane at the gate for 46 hours before we could fly on to Tokyo. And all they had for us was water. No food, no blankets or pillows, couldn't leave. The toilets, well, you can imagine. So think through who you book your travel with.
Well, talk about a way to start this conversation when you think of where we're at. Like, oh my goodness. So what is your favorite hobby or interest that you like to do outside of when you're hurting all of us cats, trying to get us to come to the DBEI that we're so proud to be part of, that we passionately call the art of construction?
I would probably say the biggest one is water. Water is my happy place. So I love to sail, but anything out on water slows the heart down, turns the brain off for a while. It's my meditative space.
Well, outstanding. Well, before we get into DBEI, what is your story that led you to being the executive chairman of the Digital Built Environment Institute?
Masochism, perhaps? I am an architect by training. I got my degree at University of New South Wales in Australia and opened and ran my own architectural practice in Australia for many years. But part of my passion is teaching, whether it is helping family members with IT problems through to teaching at university in architectural design and architectural technology. And all of these things really led from there, just as a fairly natural place for me to be. The development of the Digital Built Environment Institute over time was not an originally planned journey. It was an organically developed one, but it seemed a fairly natural progression when you look at my instinct towards teaching.
Awesome. Well, now that we're in DBEI, can you tell us more about kind of the DBEI origins?
Sure. I am the first Revit user in Australia, which product produced by the Revit Technology Corporation back then. This is back in 99, and then purchased by Autodesk. And in 2003, we set up a user group for that software in Sydney, which is where I was based. And back then, you did not have Wikipedia. You did not have YouTube. Nobody had yet written any books about how to use this new tool. The only resource you truly had when you needed help and support was other users. So that community became very, very tight-knit very quickly. And after a couple of years, the group said, you know, it's wonderful that we meet once a month for a wine and a wine about our tools and what we need, but we should do something more than that. We should go away for a weekend, and being very Australian as a group, we should geek out and get shit-faced. So I, having no idea what is truly involved in organizing events, said, I'll figure something out. And we did our first event in the mountains outside of Sydney in late 2005. We had about 95 people. And sure enough, the very first night of that event ended when the 15 or so people still in the lobby of the hotel, having closed down the bar and raided all of their mini bars in their rooms to collect drinks, realized the sun was coming up and we needed to go have showers real quick before the next day of classes started. So we definitely met our objective. And it then grew from there. we recognized almost immediately, because this is a group of users, not the software developers, not the industry suppliers to that group. We were the people actually at the coal face of the software, that while a tool of this nature could be your primary tool, it can never be your only one. There is a toolkit that you need. And so the events right from the beginning were all about what are all the pieces you need, how you bring them together, how you connect everything to give you a holistic approach. And it's grown from there.
Awesome. So I love that origin story of like a group of people that are power users in a tool that the book hadn't been written yet, but you all knew this is where it needed to go. And so who are outside of that, or is, when it comes to the DBI community, who is the key of the people in that community now? Because this podcast going out to the Art of Construction tribe, I really want them to learn who they're going to partner up with here.
The really important part with the answer to that question is that need for a holistic conversation and a holistic community. It began predominantly in the design community on the architecture side, because that's where these early parametric and intelligent tools, this next generation of tools themselves started. But if we do not include all of the different stakeholders, all of the different voices in this community and in the built environment processes, we're never going to be successful in improving the way we do things. So what's critical to us is to ensure that we have a broad mix of the designers, the builders, the operators and owners, the people that work on the project right throughout its life cycle, from just of finding a site where you might want to build something all the way through demolition, reuse processes. And that means we've got to have the contractors there. We've got to have the estimators and planners there. We've got to have the broad range of people.
Outstanding. So we got to know Wesley. We got to know who the current DBEI community and the origin story. What impact do you want to make, and how do we want to get there to move this thing forward?
One of the things that we talk about in-house, we don't necessarily publish too much, is the idea that we want to be able to have an impact on every person on the planet. Sounds very grandiose, but at its most basic level, the built environment is everything you see around you. And unless you spend your days running naked through a forest and you sleep wherever you fall over, as soon as you start weaving a couple of leaves together to keep the rain off your head while you sleep, you have modified your built environment. Mm. So if we can help this community to be more productive, more efficient in the way that it operates, it affects every aspect of the built environment. And when you look at some of these problems that you mentioned in your start that we're aware of, we use more than half of the world's energy production goes into the built environment. We produce over a third of physical waste. We produce just under a third of airborne pollution. So we have very, very significant impacts. So small improvements in productivity and efficiency have massive flow-on impacts in sustainability and providing a world worth living in to our descendants. And that's our goal, is to help everybody recognize the value of the change, understand the methodology of the change, and how to implement it, and see these better, I mean, larger impacts begin to occur.
I commend you for that. One of the big focuses for the Art of Construction tribe of our Riches in the Niches, which is a massive one, is what we call system build lifestyle. So the MFs, the modular factories, the prefab, all that stuff, is that tied into DBEI's mission? And if so, how?
It is very much so. one of the things that we talk about sometimes with groups is the rather disconcerting notion that if you were to, as a for instance, resurrect a Roman legionnaire, somebody from living 2,000 years ago, and put them on your average residential construction site today, you would probably only need to give them about a half an hour's worth of training for them to be just as effective on that building site as anybody else who's there. And that is a ridiculous statement, but true. The technological capabilities, the advancements that you see through prefabrication and modular systems has not had the impact, has not really broken in across the breadth of industry in the way it needs to. So one of the things that we're trying to encourage people to do is understand the value of those systems and how they can be applied and breaking down the differences we see in some of the reasons why that's the case. For instance, economies of scale, which is a whole nother conversation you could get into, the way that we work on basically a one-off basis, as opposed to, say, the automotive industry or the aeronautical industries, and how we get some of the efficiencies that they see into our industry.
All right. So I want to have a little fun here next as we're rebooting this thing and we're going to get into that conversation. And I'm always talking about breaking down these silos from the very beginning of these things. So I want to get your take on that, but I want to kind of have a spin on this and put what I'm going to call the ace in the hole. And the ace in the hole is about putting the focus where the focus can best holistically work, and then get into the riches and the niches. So we talked about these acronyms, and they're constant, all these different acronyms, right? So O is the operation. The other part that is this silent killer right now is speed, with the Amazon effect and supply chain and having all these conversations around that. But when it comes to as this community coming together with new people coming in with fresh perspectives is what, Wesley, you and I are passionate of teaching and bringing new perspectives together, right? When it comes to architecture, when it comes to engineering, when it comes to construction, the operation of that is all those things inside of that and having it come together, right? So what are your thoughts on how we can move this forward and properly break down these silos in our in this industry between all these acronyms?
So there are a couple parts to that answer. We have spent a number of generations, our industrial revolution, specializing to the point where people now have such narrow focuses in what they do and how they do it. And one of the things that the technologies we've been looking at over the last 20 to 40 years in our industry give us the opportunity to do is to start to move back towards almost the medieval concept of the master builder. You know, being able to have a more effective, broad overview of an entire process. It's something we've lost, and it's really quite critical. The other piece of that is that as we have specialized, there has become a both commercial and cultural imperative in protecting your niche and therefore not wanting to share information. But again, if we're going to be effective in the way that we implement change, we need to understand the needs and work methodologies of the people who are the other stakeholders in industry. So it's about fostering those conversations, about bringing them into the room and saying, this is what I do and how I do it. What do you do? How do you do it? And therefore, when we share, how can we do so more effectively? So learning that, for instance, sharing a secret. There are people like, I don't want to give away that because that is my commercial value. But if you have a room and there's 12 people in there and each one of you shares one secret, one idea to make things work better, you've only lost one of your things, but you've gained 11. everybody gains and everybody shares. The other thing is doing all of this increases the size of the pie that everybody's eating from by truly extraordinary amounts. So even if that piece that you're eating is a tiny bit smaller on a proportional level, its total size is much, much bigger. And it's getting people to recognize that and the added value that it brings.
I love that. So next, we're going to talk about managing the two things we don't have enough of, and that's time and money at every level, everybody you talk to, right? So let's go back. This is crazy to think. 2019 was the last time I was at Digital Built Week, and it was my first time at Digital Built Week. And the question I'm sure the tribe is wondering is, okay, why did you go there in the first place? And why I went there in the first place is this story. I was the Art of Construction. I was a fish out of water when it came to the acronyms of the A part. I had lived construction my whole career, but I really saw this being a technology person, which is the question we're going to ask all the way at the end of this thing. I was like, how can I really understand architecture by not being schooled in architecture? And I said, well, the first thing I want to do is I want to wear the shoes of the power users of that. So I started researching where the power users are. And I find that ironic, Wesley, as you started this thing as a power user. And the story I'm about to tell is I decided to go to Autodesk University. And I'm at Autodesk University, and back to the hook at the beginning of this, Ben Glunz, I met him there, the owner of BIMsmith, because I was really getting fascinated about BIM and just learning what BIM stood for, a building informational modeling, as I owned a window and door company. And we had become masters of articulating what we're trying to actually order in that GUI middle. And I went there to see these tools that these architects are using. And I'm not a detailed person. And it was like, the conference was hard for me because I'd go from booth to booth and I just wasn't relatable because I was wearing my backpack and just another one of the 10,000 power users of Autodesk and didn't really have the interest in that. And Ben said, Devin, it's good that you came here because you as a visionary leader to put yourself in their shoes, but where you need to be and you're going to be the most successful is at Built. He didn't say DBEI, he said Built. And we're going to learn over time about what Built mean. And it's spelled B-I-L-T. And it's called this and called that. Long story short is I went there and Ben said, it's the 850 influencers that make Autodesk University work. And I was like, that is fascinating. So I'm like, Ben, where do I go? How do I go? So I put it out there. That turned into kudos to Wesley and the team. I ended up interviewing Steve Burrows, who has been an amazing mentor for so many people in the industry. When he talks about, hey, it's the greatest time to be in construction if you're doing and paying attention to these things. And we got to do a podcast that really elevated Art of Construction and broke us through to the next ceiling. And I'll forever be grateful to Ben and Wesley and the who that makes what happen, right? And putting the right people in the right seat. So Ben, the founder of BIMsmith, I went there and I met the team of Enscape. And now I've become friends with Moritz Luck. And it's a really cool story. I met Moritz through Phil Reed, who I did a podcast with. So these who's of who you connect to. And then they introduced me to Anthony of Hypar. And he has a similar story of Wesley about back to the beginning of these origin stories that make it work. That's what makes me tick. But if I'm understanding it right, I want to pass the baton back to you, Wesley. We're moving this thing forward in a bigger way from these early adopters, influencers, that when it comes to what I call system build lifestyle, it's a pretty cool time because this book is just being written right in front of us right now. So let's talk about 2022 and talk about Digital Built Week this year and what people can expect, people listening to this podcast, and what will be happening just a few short months from now.
Thank you, Devin. Yeah, I think it's been a fascinating journey in those terms because I mentioned earlier that at the time we started, there were no books, there were no podcasts, et cetera. And all of the people that have since then written those books that everybody refers to, they are core regular attendees at the Built events and in the DBEI activities. And what had happened was what we were doing in those early years was, what do we as a group need for our own purposes and for what we do? And what we began to realize as it developed and grew is that we were building the kernel of an extraordinarily powerful community of super advanced users, of influencers, of people involved in legislative activities, in authoring, et cetera. And it opened up the opportunities for this organization to do more and to expand its goals and visions. So what's happening with the event in 2022 is the beginning of the response to that expanded vision. And in order to start that process, first, we need to ensure that we are connected with the industry at its broadest level. What we have at the moment are those thought leaders and innovators in technology in the AECO space, but we really, to affect change, need to be everybody from a designer to the person pumping a shovel out on a building site. And all of them need to understand how these things are changing, how it adds value. So in the event itself, we will see a much expanded trade show floor that will give far more opportunity for people to experience the new technologies and offerings coming out of the industry that they can leverage in their work. We are seeing a much larger, broad attendance across all of the different stakeholders in the life cycle of the built environment. So we will be able to foster, as a result, the conversations and the connections between people, the networks that lead to the next generation of new tools and capabilities. And we have, to support that process, a range of classes that is double what we've ever seen before, not just in volume, but also in the breadth of class topics available to the attendees.
Outstanding. And what I've seen of all the work that we're putting together to all partner and help each other out, what I've seen is this really cool expansion of the trade show, which is kind of a typical term, but it's really cool to bring the typical to the atypical conference, a broader range of industry participants. Kudos to you and the team for looking outside of the normal, the people that have made this happen to go out and look differently, and then offering that wider range of classes. Am I understanding that correctly, Wesley?
Absolutely. I think that summarizes it very neatly.
Awesome. So I'm so jazzed. You and I are moving so fast to make this all happen. We got to be going after it. But I want to take a minute and just slow down, which something forced us to slow down. We'll talk about that next. And talk through, how have you seen your events transform, grow, COVID, over the years?
Well, as I mentioned, the genesis of our first event back in 2005, our second event was, well, that was great. We should do it again. 2006. 2011, we hosted our first international event, which happened to be in Southern California in 2011, as I said. And so this year's event, while no longer, because of COVID, actually the 10th anniversary, is the 10th event. So we're celebrating on that basis, which is why we're in Southern California. But it was only at that point that the process really started to accelerate, because after that, we had added events in Europe in 2013, in Asia in 2015. We're working with groups in multiple regions about providing access to this sort of information and networking community environments. So a big part of it also was recognizing that the core that we commenced from back in 2005 was fine for our personal needs. But again, to do the things that we need to do, we've got to expand beyond that. And that also meant that as the people who were involved progressed in their own personal careers, we transitioned from being really a very technical focused event and event series to a event that, while still catering for the technical needs and development of tools and methodologies, also added significant focus into business strategy and leadership. So the people that have to look after employees, have to implement tools and processes into companies, would also be getting the information they needed. We would have the conversations again happening not just across different disciplines, not just across the different stages of life cycle of a project, but also across the different levels of people with our growth, that growth required us to respond to these things. Then, in understanding that, that is where we began to understand that we had an opportunity to do more still and to expand that vision and mission that we have.
Awesome. Well, I gave a shout out once to Steve Burrows, but I want to do it again. And back to about taking risks and doing stuff differently. Like, I commend the group for saying, yeah, let's do something different last time. And it was such an honor to meet him. And the big thing he taught me about was this master builder, and like talking through, and you had mentioned about it, Wesley, at the beginning of this, going back to the roots of the master builder, and world resets and maybe forces things to happen, right? And so why is it important for people now coming back out of COVID to events, to attend events like Digital Built Week, to continue to drive this forward? And of course, COVID has changed that, but what's your take to all of that?
I think the biggest part of it is taking people out of their comfort zone and out of the space within which they're only thinking about their needs and their processes and their operations, and exposing them to the rest of the community. And that provides the opportunity for new ideas and methodologies to sneak in while talking with other people. So attending physical events as opposed to virtual events like we've been doing for the last couple of years is, one, getting outside of that comfort zone, finding out about certain things, tools, and activities that you haven't had an opportunity to run into yet. So leveraging the experiences of all the people around you. And obviously to do that, the second critical factor is that building and maintenance of the community, of the network itself. You know, try and avoid reinventing the wheel each time you do something by learning about and learning from the experiences of your colleagues elsewhere in your company, in your country, in your industry, and around the world. Because the same people in the same role in different countries do things sometimes quite remarkably differently.
Totally agree. So as we're now looking ahead, and we'll put it in the show notes, and people will, one of you tribe members gets one of the free passes, and we'll be communicating that out. But if not, getting it on your calendars to be part of this, talking with your organizations, because this is the future of construction right here, but also learning from the past, right? And so as we look ahead, there's so many exciting things that we're finalizing for the event. But what does the future hold for DBEI and Digital Built Week?
If I start with Digital Built Week first, the excitement that we have for what we hope to have happen over the next 3 to 5 years is the expansion of the community that is represented at the event. So the ability to hold more conversations with an ever broadening swathe of the industry. So more classes, more people, more of the trade show, more opportunity to connect everybody. So that's something very exciting to us. For the Digital Built Environment Institute itself, we're very excited about the opportunities that we have to start working to expand our offerings beyond events. And there's a whole series of different possibilities that we have that can leverage off of this strong community that we've built. So there is a membership platform in place that people can join. And there will be resources there that people can access and programs that people can join, including things like the Built Academy, which works with tertiary education around the world and is starting now to talk and secondary level education and has mentorship programs. There is an actual construction focused program we're looking to implement in the next couple of years called Built by Built, which is about leaving a physical legacy in the places where we hold our events that are also then exemplars of the new processes and technologies that we advocate. And there are many other programs beyond these that we would like to see happen.
Well, as a member of the organization, Wesley, I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you on behalf of all of us that have been part of this. Because if there's one thing that COVID made really hard, if you're the leader of something that's built around building live events, you've had to really be strategic and pivot and get through this. So talk about a rewarding time to be coming back out of this and keeping it going. So I just want to take a moment and say thank you for keeping this going, which is not easy. And so as we close this thing out, I want you to talk through of what I've asked this question on every podcast. And it's like every time I do it, I'm like, I get more and more excited to ask the question, especially someone of what you've went through as a practiced architect to go around the globe and listening to all these people trying to understand how to work better with technology and how different we're all doing things. As we move forward and all the work that you've done, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
Well, as long as you don't throw this back at me in 10 years and say, see what you predicted? The world will only need 7 computers. there are a few things that I would certainly note here. One is the rapid advancements in artificial intelligence, in machine learning and neural networks, and the opportunities that will bring to us to, again, further automate the repetitive tasks, the non-value add tasks in the processes that we need to do, allowing the humans in the cycle to be focused on those value add points. And I think that that's going to be really significant, having tools that will just do more in terms of correctly interpreting our wants in this process. And there are tools that came out a long time ago that basically treated design and the understanding of planning processes like seeds. And you plant the seed and it grows up a whole series of opportunities. And that's led to a lot of the work in generative design, as a for instance. So there's a lot of things like that. And then, of course, you've got 3D printing at a building scale and robotics. So the potential to look at the reduction in the risk, the hazards in the construction process, but also the operational timeframes, you know, that you can have sites that are running 24 hours a day on the robotic side. And again, your humans are doing the tasks that require thought and decision-making outside of a set group of parameters. I think that that's very important. And then finally, the really remarkable acceleration of the data that we have access to, and most importantly, because that has accelerated so rapidly, the methods that we're just now starting to really see develop to manage and understand that data and start to appropriately apply it back to our processes to support our decision-making process, instead of what's effectively happening now, which is that it roadblocks our process because there's just too much of it.
Gold. And Wesley, thank you so much for partnering with the Art of Construction and continuing this partnership and just growing from that seed that we planted our partnership in 2019. But as we move this thing forward, what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Communication and collaboration, looking at your process holistically, benefits everyone. It makes you more efficient, more effective, and as a result, more profitable. And by in being more profitable, you're also more sustainable. So it's a win-win for the entire planet.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. And we can't wait to see you soon at all the conferences ahead in person.
Absolutely. Thank you, Devin. It's been wonderful to talk to you and the Art of Construction team. And I look forward to continuing this collaboration for a long time to come.
Cheers. Tribe. So we're giving away some free passes for this amazing conference. Make sure you go to theaoc.us, register to get that. But most importantly, look yourself in the mirror, look your tribe, step up and be a leader of the tribe. We'll have all kinds of cool stuff for you. I'll be there. Hit me up on social media. I'm going to be leading with you there. I can't wait to see you in Anaheim, June 14th through the 16th. So make sure to go to the website and fill out the form. And there's going to be many podcasts. If you're kind of on the fence, listen to some of these upcoming podcasts, because I can guarantee it's going to be worth your time. And why is it that? Because if you're listening and the audience is growing, we are all about launching the system build lifestyle. And the thing that I want to think about that he's talking is we've got to all learn from the mentors like Wesley and the people that moved this whole thing forward, because there's a whole new system build encyclopedia being built right now. But why would we start from scratch, right? We now have true computational power to actually do a lot of the stuff that when the early adopters like Wesley stepped into this arena, it was really hard. But I can tell you, when I'm at Digital Built Week, it was not about this is my IP. It was about how do we actually work together instead of my secret sauce. Because I can tell you, Tribe, here's the key. It's people doing more with less. And it's because of you, the leaders of the AOC tribe, and leaders like Wesley and Ben and Moritz and all these people who, but what, it's the AOC and the DBEI leaders coming together to crush it and come together. I can't wait to do a high five, have as much fun as possible, and do a cheers with you. But I am also not going to have too many cheers like Wesley did at his first conference, because I'm going to get up as a lifelong learner and I'm going to be at those conferences and I'm going to be high fiving with you, doing podcasts and having as much fun as possible. Tribe, we got this. The future is now, as Steve Burrows did it with the keynote last time. I'll see ya soon on the next podcast and in person, Anaheim, June 14th through the 16th. And then we're just going to keep the relationship flowing as much fun as possible. Have I said have as much fun as possible enough times yet? That's what we're going to do. Cheers. Crush it out there, tribe.